This is East Carolina Hall of Famer and Utah Jazz first-round draft pick Blue Edwards. You're listening to Pirate Basketball Overtime on the Sports Subjective, your home for the best East Carolina hoops coverage.
Welcome into the Pirate Basketball Overtime here on the Sports Objective. Pirates get a huge win, 95-79 over the Western Carolina Catamounts. With us right now, man, the singer-songwriter from LaGrange, Kyle Barber. What's up?
What's going on, Dave? Yes, working on my songwriting abilities tonight with the Ballad of Bubba Lowe that we will be debuting nationwide on the later episode of the Sports Objective podcast. That's
Ballad of Bubba Lowe, not Lowe. Remember we, Bubba Rowe.
Bubba Rowe.
Hey, yeah, Bubba Rowe, what's up, man?
What a performance by the Pirates this afternoon. Shot lights out. Offensively, it was dang near about as well as you could play in the first half. Defensively, not too bad. In the first half, you had some second chance opportunities that you'll hear Coach Dooley talk about here in a few minutes in his post game remarks, where we gave them a second chance, and they were knocked down threes on several occasions. So that's something we have to clean up. But offensively, 59 points, one of the top five halves all time. I think the most we'd ever scored was 64, and that was against St. Andrews, which is obviously a non-Division I opponent. So, definitely one of the best halves we've ever played. And we shot, 68% from the floor.
Now, was that the most we've ever scored in a half against a Division I opponent?
The other one was there's two times we scored 64. I looked it up today. Atlantic Christian in 19, all the way back to 1968. And then we tied again, as Bo was talking about, in 2012. So 64 is the most that I ever saw. But I don't
that may be the most against Division I opponent in a half.
Yeah, that's a possibility, because Atlantic Christian wasn't obviously Division I even back then, so, which is now Barton. So, 64 is the most that. So we're right there, knocking at the door for doing that. And you know what? Hey, Bubba, how about the? If you look at the stats as far as the 3-point shooting in the first half, we've been abysmal at 3-point shooting. And look, Bubba, how about that? I don't even have to be a stats guy. Hey, Kyle, 9 out of 11 in the first half for 3-point shooting, 81.8% from 3-point land in the first half.
That's great. You're going to win a lot of ball games if you can do that. I wish we hadn't taken so many threes in the second half. Needed to run clock and take high percentage shots. Too many threes taken in the second half, let alone not making them. But overall, great performance on the offensive end.
Yeah, how about Bubba? You talk about hot and cold. I was telling Kyle in the green room before pre-show that we were 0-7 in the second half for threes. We didn't make a single three in the second half.
Yeah, and in the first half, you talk about 9 out of 11. You had Tristan Newton. What a performance for him. You know he can shoot the basketball. It was great to see him knocked down 5 out of 5 from beyond the arc, and he finished with a career high 30 points. So he was one of three Pirates in double figures on the afternoon. You also had Brandon Suggs, who finished with, I believe it was 14.
15.
15, yes. 15.
He had 15 in the first half and then scored the second.
Rebounds. And then you had, it was Tremont Robinson White. So another terrific performance by Pirate guard. It was obviously today a little overshadowed by what Tristan did, but in 21 minutes, Tremont knocked down 5 out of 6, 3 out of 4 from the line, and also he had 5 steals. So 14 points, 5 steals, 3 assists for TRW.
Hey, Bubba, by the way, we almost had 5 again, like last game with Canisius and double figures. You had Luigi DeBoe with 8 and Vance Jackson with 8. So there's a bucket away from 5 for those two guys from 5 players again in double figures. So great, great offensive performance. Like Kyle said, Coach Dooley, we'll hear him in a minute. He wasn't too happy down the stretch. That second half, second part, if you will, of the second half, especially there was a lot of shots taken, like Kyle said, that we didn't have to take, especially Bubba. I know you sent it in the group text, which is great. A good problem to have when you're up, what, 20, 25 points, and we have a huge lead and having to deal with a lead when normally we would be down that much.
Yeah, and, you know, you look at it, first of all, what you were saying about Luigi, that was quite possibly his best game as a Pirate. It's definitely definitely one of the top couple games he's had. You talk about in 17 minutes, 4 out of 4 from the floor for those 8 points. He pulled down 3 boards, also blocked 3 shots.
Yeah, he looked great. And I tell you what, guys, Kyle, I know his favorite new player is Winston Tabbs. We still haven't seen – I'm worried about him. Maybe it's – maybe they're just saving him, Bubba. I wanted to ask you that here on the overtime.
No, definitely not just saving him.
I mean, what I'm saying is, I know, like, saving him. What I'm saying is that he's not – he's hurt worse than – he's worse than what we know, and they're trying to bring him back slowly and not just throw him in there.
It's encephalitis, right?
Right. From what we've heard, it's sickness, not injury. He had been injured, but –
right.
From everything we've heard, he was over that and ready to play had the sickness not occurred. But according to Jeff Charles' interview with him on the pregame show, are you guys
going to be
back? I have no idea, but it was extremely distracting. But but getting the post game or pregame remarks from Coach Dooley, it seems very promising that we'll have some clarification on Winston Tabbs' situation very soon, and hopefully he'll be back for Thursday night against the Oklahoma Sooners, 7 o'clock, down in Conway in the Myrtle Beach Invitational quarterfinals.
And by the way, as Kyle and I were talking about pre-show, Bubba, how about the fact that tournament, a lot of great competition, great for the Pirates here in the preseason, if you will, with a non-conference schedule. It's going to be on ESPNU.
Yeah, in the second round, the Pirates will be taking on either Old Dominion or Indiana State. And then you also have the likes of Davidson, Utah State, Penn, who's typically very strong. So some very, very solid basketball programs, both in recent history and just throughout the long term in this tournament. So it's going to be a very strong challenge and great opportunity for us to show our improvement.
You think there'll be any conversations between Jonathan Gilbert and any bowl officials while we're down there?
Hey, that's a great – I hadn't even thought about that, Kyle. I had to put 2 and 2 together. I've been looking at hotels and different things for Myrtle Beach for that date. Hopefully we can – if we go there. But, you know, it doesn't matter where we go. Let's just go to a bowl. What's that?
That it kind of does. But
I'm happy to be at, yes, I'm happy to be in a bowl. Are there places that I think make sense and places that really don't make sense? Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But I guess we'll stay on track and keep us focused to the Pirate basketball team for right now. I just thought I'd mention that because the timing of the trip down there.
Hey, it's like a month out from the Myrtle Beach Bowl. The Myrtle Beach Bowl is December 20th. So you're looking at it just a little bit over a month before that bowl game. And I know they have tickets and everything, but anyway, Bubba, I know with tonight, with this game or earlier this afternoon, I should say, with 3-0, the Pirates, one of the things that's impressed me is, like I was telling you guys, so far so good. The shooting is a lot better than we had. I had a fan that I was talking to at halftime. He said, no disrespect to Jaden Gardner, he said, But finally, I feel like that we have team basketball now. It's not everything. In other words, everything was centering around Jaden. But you look at Tristan Newton, you look at Brandon Suggs, Tremont Robinson-White, and I know he had the injury, but he's, as Coach was saying, the post-game, I asked him about him. He's playing with a lot more confidence now, and certainly you can see, like, the athletic ability. Bubba, when you were talking about five steals, he brings a lot to the table, and it's ironic that he's – the last two games, I know for sure, he's been coming off the bench.
Yeah, you know, one of the reasons coming into this season that I was pretty optimistic, you know, a lot of folks just see, oh, Jaden Gardner left, and this is taking absolutely nothing away from Jaden Gardner because he's clearly an unbelievable player. You know, his first two games at UVA, he had double-doubles. But like you're saying, and like I heard other coaches say, analysts, so much of the offense ran through Jaden Gardner. When he got in foul trouble, a lot of times it would seem like we were lost. You look at tonight, and yes, it's one thing to get a lot of assists when you're knocking down shots, but in order to get a lot of good shots, and you have to share the ball well. And you know, Western Carolina was playing pretty solid man-to-man defense there early on, but the Pirates shared the basketball well. I think we had 17 or 18 of our 21 assists in the first half when we were when we're knocking down nearly 70% of our shots. But a lot of encouraging things. Even though he didn't have a ton of points, I'm trying to remember what he finished with, because tonight we were having a birthday party for my wife, Stacy, so I did not get to see a whole lot of the second half. But R.J. Felton, I know you look at his numbers, 2 out of 9 and 18 minutes, just 4 points, 3 assists. But kind of like you saw in the past with some of our young promising talent, R.J. Felton, I love some of the things he brings to the table. Very strong for a true freshman, and I think the sky's the limit for him. And Brandon Johnson tonight, not quite as good as he had been, but, you know, he still had 8 points, 6 rebounds in 18 minutes. Not bad numbers.
No doubt. And the coach even said, it's not his best game, but still he has the enthusiasm and the passion when he comes on the floor. I feel like it gives kind of like off the bench. That's what I was going to ask you, Bubba. The bench play has been really, really good, and surprisingly, not just the start. It's just like what we talk about with football, with having a good defensive line. Well, we got guys that, you know, 2 and 3 deep now that are playing well. Same thing with basketball now, where you have guys coming off the bench, quality players, and not just guys that you hold your breath for a couple minutes to give that star player a blow, you know?
Yeah, you feel like, J.J. Miles isn't hot, that somebody else can be. Tristan Newton can pick up the slack for TRW or vice versa. I mean, it doesn't have to, Jaden Gardner, like in the past, when he had to give you 25 and 30 points on a pretty consistent basis.
And play, 40 minutes, 35, 40 minutes?
Now the scoring can come from a ton of different places, very much like in football. Now you see, very rarely do you see a Pirate have more than 7 or 8 tackles in a game, because you have 7 or 8 guys have 5 or 6 tackles apiece. And I think you're going to kind of see that in basketball. You're going to see several guys in that 10, 12, 15 point range.
No doubt about it. And we're looking
Dave, I was going to make a comment here.
Go ahead.
You know, I think that's what I'm saying. Jaden Gardner is going to be missed. But the best thing that could happen for everybody is for Jaden to go on and put up big numbers at UVA, and the Pirates to have their best basketball season we've had under the Joe Dooley era without Jaden.
Yeah, and that's totally possible. You know, when you and I were talking, Kyle, in the green room before the show about the schedule, We've got a lot of games on the schedule that we can win, including this coming weekend. I think it's definitely a tough tournament, but most certainly I think we can hang with a lot of those teams.
How good is Oklahoma, guys? I'm noted. I'm not a basketball.
They're pretty good. Yeah, they're pretty good.
Are they top 25?
Probably a fringe top 25 type of team. This one moment, and I do know the one result that I know for Oklahoma thus far, they beat UTSA, a future AAC member. They beat them 96-44.
Wow.
Yeah, they shoot a lot of they're very good three-point shooting team, Kyle, so we've got to have our perimeter defense on Thursday night. That we got to make sure that it's definitely a quality opponent. I know it's not just a football school that we're playing. They've got a good football hand basketball program, and I believe they were a tournament team, right, Bubba? They have been. My memory serves me right for March Madness, so definitely one that we're gonna have our hands full. And Old Dominion's good. Davidson's usually good. I'm not sure this year about Indiana State, but there's a lot of good basketball.
Going back to Oklahoma, they are 2-0. Their opener, they beat Northwestern State out of Louisiana, 77-59, and then they put that 52-point beatdown on the Roadrunners of UTSA in game two. And so far, they have been led by 6'10", 235-pound forward or center, whichever he is, out of Spokane, Washington, and that is Tanner Groves. And remember, their head coach is Porter Moser, who had been with the Loyola Ramblers and taking the Ramblers to a Final Four as well as, what, a Sweet 16?
Yeah, that was in the last few years, right? 2018, they went to the Final Four, first year of our podcast. That the very beginning of the podcast is how I remember that. And I believe, was that 19 or 20, 2020, right? They went to the Sweet 16 last year. I think that's right, something like that. But they've done very well with Loyola, and then he moves on to Oklahoma. So yeah, Kyle, they're a good team.
Yeah, well, it'll be a nice test. You're going to play teams of that ilk in the American, so it's a very nice test for us to see how we stack up.
Yeah, because you have a chance. Some people may not realize it, Bubba, but not only we have a chance to play Old Dominion next weekend, but obviously right after Thanksgiving and the last day of November, we have them in Williams Arena. So you have a chance to play them two times, and about potentially two times in a 2-week span.
Right, and Old Dominion definitely a quality opponent, and very excited to see the Monarchs back on the schedule.
No doubt, the old CAA foe, and one that they've had a great program for a long time. They're not too far away from us, so a great opponent to have non-conference, and be cool to have them in conference. But anyway, for basketball, for sure, we'll see how that turns out. And I know, Bubba, we had a chance to go post-game with Coach Dooley, right?
Absolutely. Everything looking ready to roll on your end, Dave?
Yeah, it looks good.
All right.
We got off to a good start, obviously, shooting the ball. But I thought our defense was solid. If we didn't give up second-chance points, I think the first half we gave up 19 points off a second chance. You know, all those threes obviously were a little bit of a problem that we didn't rebound. But I thought when we got stops and get out and ran, we were very effective. With the exception of the last few minutes, I thought our defense was really good. A lot of dribble drives in the second half that bothered us, but that's something we can correct. Both the amount of good number of assists, and we didn't turn the ball over, which really helped. And I think those things always help. Don't turn the ball over. Didn't give them as many transition opportunities.
You forced 19 turnovers, and you get 8-10 steals here. good defense seemed to translate into good offense in the first half. And, a little bit of a
We got 25 points off of turnovers, which is a good number. And I mean, it's hard to withstand a team making 17 threes, and the guys did a nice job. I mean, we did a fair job in some spurts of guarding the 3-point line. With that amount of 46 of their 63 is a lot of attempts to defend. But I did think we did a nice job of taking care of the ball. And once we rebounded in those situations, we did a good job of being effective in transition.
What do you think about the physicality of your team? You guys were able to get 48 of your points in the paint, but you were out rebounded by four. Discuss size, physicality, and what might need to be worked out.
Well, we need to get better at rebounding, but those numbers are deceptive because of the way we shot the ball, especially the first half. So I thought the guys did a nice job. We didn't do a great job of cleaning up. Our first shot defense in the first half was really good. It was the second shot defense, offensive rebounds that really bothered us. We did a nice job of getting out in transition. But I do think that the rebounding deal is going to be an important deal. And the second part of the first part of the question is we were able to get downhill and get to the rim, which we talked about. So I do think the points in the paint were a lot of them were off of ball screen situations. Western did a nice job in the second half of trapping the post. They came down and doubled the post. But I thought our big guys did a nice job of getting it out of there and getting the ball reversed.
Coach, can you talk about Tristan Newton? He had 30 tonight. Big night for him.
He was terrific. I mean, I thought he was very effective. Obviously, shot the ball especially well in the first half. Second half, with the exception of one time, he didn't really settle. He got downhill. I think he's a guy that can continue to do those type of deals. We need him to be a playmaker and a distributor, but he's also got a knack to score like he did tonight. We need him to do that.
Your postman, Luigi DeVoe, got off to a good start tonight. He seems to be getting better and better every ball game.
He struggled the first two games, and we talked about it. He didn't look like he had, and I think tonight he got off to a confident start. He got the dunk to begin with. He had a nice tip. The two jump hooks, he threw over his right shoulder in the second half were really good. But I think the other thing was he got some confidence. He rotated across, had a big block in the first half in front of our bench, got us out in transition, and he just played with a different level of confidence. I thought Zoe played good. He did some things. Brandon Johnson didn't have one of his better games, but his energy is still needed. And there's some things we can clean up, and we will clean up.
Tremont Robinson-White looked really good again, the double figures tonight. And he seems to be more athletic. Is he fully healed?
He's full. I mean, that injury his first year was about I'd never seen it before, and it took a little bit longer. I don't know that we had a prognosis on how long it was going to take, but even when you're healthy, it doesn't mean you're back to where you were. And I think he's more confident. We see it every day in practice. He was aggressive. I mean, he really impacts the game. He deflects a lot of passes. He's around, he knocks a ball off a guy's knee when a guy's getting a layup, or he runs to a passing lane, or he rotates across and just really is a nuisance at times.
Coach, it was pretty clear early on that Western Carolina's game plan was kind of knockdown threes. They only made 17 out of 46. How would you assess kind of your Pirates' perimeter defense?
When we got back and got sorted, I think we did a good job. We had a couple in transition, and it's a little bit different, when you're Luigi or Zoe or some of these other guys, they're not used to guarding that much. 33 Petrakis is really out on the perimeter. When they played small with Robinson, you really had five guards out there. We got to make a decision. I like playing a big guy because it seemed like we could rebound and throw the ball inside, but it puts a strain on your defense because there's so many guys that you have to guard. All five of them can shoot, and they will shoot it. But I thought for the most part our guys were there. They made some really tough shots too, which I'm fine with. It's going to happen.
First three games in the book, after the season opener, you said there's definitely some things to work on. What do you think after those first three games, you start to see some things fall into place just a little bit?
We need to maintain some of the things we've done. I've been playing with it sounds strange, but sometimes playing with a big lead is hard to do. Take a little bit off the gas. Now, the flip side is sometimes, and we've been in a situation where it gets a little easier to score when you're down that far. Shots there's not as much pressure. We've been in that boat, and I thought they did a really good job of continuing to compete. And we got a little impatient offense. We have to learn at the end of the game, shot the time, score momentum, run the clock a little bit more, and take shots a little bit later in the clock, especially those last 4 minutes.
Coach, can you talk about on Thursday, you have the big neutral site, the tournament with the Myrtle Beach Invitational. with Oklahoma, a really good program.
Yeah, great program. You know, top 50 net team, top 50 Ken Palm team. Off to a good start, 2-0 start. Made a lot of threes, gave up 10 points and a half to Texas San Antonio yesterday, scored 60 some odd in the second half. I watched one of their exhibition games where they, I think they were 19 for 27 from three. So obviously guarding 3-point line is going to be very important, and it's a good opportunity to play against a Big 12 team.
We're good.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that's comments from Coach Joe Dooley post-game here. Appreciate Coach very, very much. Thank you, Coach, for his – I appreciate his candor. I know that he's excited about this group of guys. And Bubba and Kyle, they really he's, I think, happy. This, as you know, Kyle, is year four for Dooley. And a tough year with COVID. Like, I know we always say – can't make excuses, but so far so good. First week you're 3-0, and next week it was not, you know, what you wanted.
Yeah, it was exactly what you wanted. 3-0 is great start to the season. Dave, Bub, I don't know about on y'all's end, but on my end, the video, well, you couldn't see the video.
Yeah, it's like a, yeah, we need to promote that. We'll have that up on YouTube. For those listening, it doesn't
matter. The audio is great, which is really what you want to hear. You really want to hear Dooley. I mean, looking at Joe Dooley is no prize for anyone, but hearing him talk was what you wanted, and the audio is great. So, but obviously next week the competition steps up a little bit. Though, Kinesis, man, they took it to St. Bonaventure's for almost pulled off a big upset tonight. The Bonnies came back and pulled away, but that's the top 25 program in St. Bonaventure, and Kinesis gave them all they wanted. So, you know, it's interesting to see. You know, Western gave Wake a game. So, you never know. Sometimes teams are surprisingly good. We'll know a lot more about ourselves after this tournament in Myrtle Beach.
No doubt about it. And hopefully we can what we can do is just keep we talk about keep building. But certainly when it comes to once you get to the end of December and you get that AAC play in January, that conference play, last year we took care of business, guys. We were, 7-1, Bubba, and then COVID struck. So we had such a great start. Love to see that again, guys, build from last year. I know those guys were chomping at the bit. They had no practice or games for 20-some days in February. So hopefully they can build from that and be hungry, as they say, when it comes to this season.
Yeah, that's one of the things this program, I think it was kind of overlooked just because of the way COVID wreaked havoc with our season, and we finished 8-11, and I guess went 1-10 down the stretch after that 7-1 start. But
we didn't have Dooley. We didn't have players. It was really bad. I mean, I know that – you are what your record is, but at the same time, there was a lot of circumstances that we normally don't have to deal with.
The point I was going to make, though, is we were 6-0 in the non-conference last season, because then we lost our conference opener, and then we won our next conference game against Tulane, I think it was, or somebody, because we had lost to SMU out there in the opener. But point being that we've won 9 straight non-conference games now. So some of those programs that we've historically struggled with, regional teams like, you know, whether it's Western Carolina or, you know, Radford, UNC Wilmington,
Appalachian State,
App State, you know,
Charlotte.
We're beating programs like that now. And that's a sign that this program is slowly but surely getting to where we want it to be.
No doubt about it. And, I'm happy for Coach Dooley being year four. I know Kyle, we've talked about this. This is a big year for Dooley. And certainly I know it's in the back of his mind, but you want to see progress. And our friend B-Pay says 16 games. If you could go from 8-11 to winning, what is that, Bubba? 16 and that would be maybe 16 and 4. Well, I guess you have 30-some games because you have the regular season plus the AAC tournament if we didn't make a postseason tournament after the conference tournament. But 16 games will be a huge improvement.
No doubt.
Yeah, if we can win 16, I guess that would give us a winning season in the regular season.
Yeah, that's correct. That'll be a couple games over 400, 500.
Pretty sure we play an even 30.
Yeah. 30 plus. 16.
So obviously that would make us 16-14 going to the AAC tournament.
Well, that would be a great accomplishment. We with a lot of basketball left to be played, but you got three of them in the bag.
Yeah, that's what I was getting ready to say. Three out of the 16 we got in 1 week. It'll be interesting though that we're going to do very well to have that 16. My gut feeling is we're going to have to. What do you think, Bubba? Kyle, you think break even on this? That's what I'm confused on. Is it a round robin kind of thing, or is it a single elimination tournament?
It's bracket play. Yeah, because it's Indiana State or Old Dominion.
Depending on the winner. Okay.
Depending on what we do, you get the winner and the loser, depending on whether we win or lose, and then on the opposite side of the bracket. You give me a minute and I'll tell you those other teams. But I know three of the four, it's Penn, Davidson, and then Utah State. I'm trying to remember the fourth.
Okay. Yeah. So that next week, we're going to have to really play well. If you can get a couple wins in that tournament or a win in there. But that would be fantastic because we're going to have to put that towards, I'm going to go with B-Pays. He's bullish on the Pirates, and I think judging by it's week one, but off to a great start, and that will be fantastic to see that, no doubt about it, especially for these players. Go ahead, Bubba.
And, Dave, that other – the eighth team that I could not think of is New Mexico State. So
that's right.
Very strong basketball tradition there for New Mexico State. So this is a heck of a field and a step up from it's not uncommon for us to play in a tournament this time of year, but this is definitely a big step up from the one that we typically play in.
It's on TV.
Yeah, ESPNU. I mean, come on. That's fantastic for this program and definitely a great challenge. That's what you want, though, is these guys are competitors. And it gives the especially these young guys, Kyle, that are coming in, these younger players, it'll give them a lot of playing time. Plus, it'll be great to see if I'm praying that Winston Tabbs will finally get his debut as a Pirate on Thursday night. That would be fantastic. I'm not sure on that, but that would be great to see.
Yeah, time will tell. And anytime you get an opportunity to play in Oklahoma, a Big 12 school, a name brand program, if you will, it's a big opportunity. And maybe the Pirates can pull it off and stay in the winner's bracket. I'd love to make a championship game. I'd love an opportunity to play Davidson.
Oh man,
it's something we never play them. They're an in-state school.
Love them.
School that I would love to see us play non-conference semi-regularly, and so I think we would have to make the championship game to do that.
Yeah, they're on the other side, so that's correct. And Davidson's one of the best, not only in the state but in the country. So no doubt, it'd be a great test for us for any of those teams. I can't wait for it. I know that. We had Brandon Suggs and Tristan Newton. Tristan Newton, guys, again, 30 points, a career high, 5 for 5 in the first half from threes. I mean, he was just unbelievable. Took it to back. I was amazed at one point while I know Bubba's getting that video ready, Kyle, I wanted to make is when you see a guy like Tristan Newton in the past, you would see guys wide open and they would take the shots. And they were wide open. They miss a lot of those shots. So people just say, okay, we're going to leave you wide open because they're not going to make the shots. Well, now you got a kid like Tristan Newton that was just burying them. They left him open. He's burying them. And it was great to see.
Yeah, Newton had a big night. Hopefully that was something that'll continue and he'll be a consistent, shooting threat for us all year. It's hard to match tonight's total of 30 points, but if he can be a consistent shooting threat for us, that'll obviously be a good thing. And like I said, we've looked surprisingly good in my opinion so far. And then we get Tab, the kid from Boston College, put up a lot of big numbers in the ACC. Finally, hopefully this weekend, time will tell. And you hope he just adds to things and it don't become a Jaden Gardner type situation where we try to run everything through him.
Right.
And he just adds to the production.
And now about speaking of Tristan Newton, by the way, Bubba, I know we had the post game audio video rather with Brandon Suggs and Tristan Newton. And are you ready for that?
Yep. Like we mentioned, three Pirates in double figures tonight. Tristan Newton, 30 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. Brandon Suggs, 15 points and 6 rebounds. And let's hear from those two right now.
You guys ready? Fire away. Tristan, big night for you. Talk about what's working for you tonight a little bit.
Well, the first half, I had 5 threes in the first half, and I think it was all off catch and shoot, so really it was just my teammates just finding me open. Second half, they just had to keep going, so that's why I did it. I really cut down a lot of weight, because last year I was like 205, and now I'm like 180, so I feel like I'm moving better, and assists, that's really my teammates. They're making shots, get back doors and all that, and rebound is just going to get the ball, so that's really it.
First 3 games done, shaking off the nerves, shaking off the rest of the offseason, starting to play in front of fans again. What do you guys think the first weekend? Oops.
Well, it's been good. It's been fun. We missed the fans. So it's always fun having the crowd. And I feel like they're making us go harder, pushing us, because we don't want to let everybody down.
Brandon, you had another great night, 15 points, I believe. How does it feel out there?
Oh, yeah, you know, I just do my job. I ain't really worried about scoring for real. I'm more of a defensive guy. So I like, the scoring comes for me, it just comes for me. I ain't even tripping on.
Brandon, you guys were up 28, and all of a sudden the two teams kind of took turns making runs at each other, and they end up cutting down under 20. Mm-hmm. Talk about what was happening there, like.
Got too comfortable, man. Got comfortable. Happy with success. We didn't stay on them. Like, it happened like when we played the last season. Yeah, the like, same thing. We just got to learn how to stay, like, not let teams, like, get through like a day when they play, like, come back. We just got to. And that's gonna happen with more chemistry, more games. We'll be all right.
You bring up chemistry. You know, this is your first 3 games, a lot of new faces. What do you think about learning each other's games? A lot of new additions to the team in the offseason. How's that been going? Are you guys seeing progress,
even? Yeah, I feel like in the game you learn more about like chemistry than practice. Like practice, I feel like you're at ease at practice. So like, it's like when you're in a game environment, you know what people are gonna do and how they're gonna step up. So I feel like the chemistry is growing because we all trust each other and all just wanna win.
Big difference between practice speed and game speed, right?
Correct. I mean, like not kind of, sort of. Like, I feel like in practice we go hard, though. Like, we all try to make each other better. So, I feel like it's more physical at practice. So, man, like, we're making tough layups and all that. It's just because we don't call fouls at practice. So, it's just we're used to stuff like that.
You guys shot really well tonight, again, from the free throw line. I think it was like 81, just shy under 82%. You guys, that's a great way to get a lot of points.
Free throws. I smoke too low. So I feel like I'm living at like about 88. So I apologize.
What about this coming week? You have the Myrtle Beach Invitational starting on Thursday, a neutral court site. A lot of great competition coming up, starting with Oklahoma.
Yeah, I feel like we just got to play the same, guard, shoot open shots, pass the ball, and rebound. And I feel like we can compete with anybody.
And when was the last time you guys faced a team that shot 46? Three-pointers in
high, like, high school. Yeah, AAU for me. Yeah. You know, I don't think, have we ever been facing anybody who shot 46 threes?
I can't remember.
Not since you guys been here.
Yeah, I don't think so, but a lot.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks for- All right, post-game comments there from Brandon Suggs and Tristan Newton. Tristan Newton with a big night again, 30 points. Brandon with 15. Guys, great again, great start for the Pirates. Feeling good about it. Obviously, the next game we talked about Thursday night, ESPNU, and that'll be against Oklahoma, the Myrtle Beach Invitational, and that time is at 7:00. By the way, 6:30 airtime. For Jeff Charles and Michael Perry. I had a chance to listen to Coach Perry did a great job today, and glad that he's a broadcast partner now with Jeff Charles on the Learfield Pirate Sports Radio Network. So appreciate them very, very much, and look forward to listening and watching the game on Thursday night. Guys, do you have anything before we go?
No, not on my end. Just a good start to the season, 3-0, and got the Sooners Thursday night on the U. So good coverage. Glad to be playing on ESPNU. Seems like not as many television games last season. I don't know how the TV schedule is looking this season. I know there's a lot more ESPN Plus games with the current American contract. So good to be on the U for a non-conference game. I don't know what the rest of the TV schedule looks like for that tournament. If we're going to be on, if you say, do you guys know? Does it depend on if we win or lose? What does the rest of the TV look like for that tournament for our bracket?
I'd have to double check it, Kyle, but I think that the majority of these games are on either ESPNU or ESPN2, so I feel pretty confident that we'll at least get a couple, if not three games on on the U or the Deuce.
That's great. That's great exposure, and nothing wrong with ESPN Plus. I mean, nowadays, more and more, I mean, the NHL is now a featured product on ESPN Plus as people are switching to streaming more and more. But it's still good to be on the linear platforms from the television standpoint for basketball.
No doubt. And by the way, very excited about the Pirates Bowl eligible. Bub, I know that we'll have our do some programming notes here before we go. We have promoing the TSO locker room, Jaira Wilson, I should say, and also how about the performance of the Pirates with Ryan Jones on offense. Very excited to have them on most likely tomorrow, right?
Yeah. Obviously, things are subject to change with their schedules academically. We shoot for Monday, and then if we need to adjust, we call an audible and have it when we can have it. But look forward to catching up with those two gentlemen once again. Ryan Jones, another solid game, 4 catches for 70 yards. The big one there that late in the first half. Unfortunately, that was one of those times that we had to settle for a chip shot field goal, but a heck of a catch there late in the first half.
Hey, we would not have won the game.
Yep. Hey. And that's something that Owen Daffer, some folks may kind of shrug it off just because they were shorter field goals, but look no further than Memphis's situation and them opting to go for two because of their shaky kicking game. And Owen Daffer now, I don't know exactly, but what he's something like 14 out of 15 under 40 yards. So if he can maintain that consistency and, extend his range a little bit, maybe get a little more trajectory, get the kicks up a little faster on those longer kicks and be a weapon from 40 to 50, man, what a weapon we have in Owen Daffer.
We thought about trying a 45 yarder yesterday and coach decided to go for it. I don't know if you guys remember that.
We were talking about it. Had the timeout and we were like, what are we going to do here? And I said, I saw Coach Houston say offense, you're on the field.
We're interested in trying. And then I wanted to touch on this, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday, post-game show. Then we'll get the hell out of here. It's time to go to bed. But that last offensive possession for us in regulation, there was a lot of people questioning clock management, why we didn't run more time off the clock. And in general, I would agree with that statement 100%. Because if you run 20 more seconds off the clock, if Holton just takes 20 seconds off the clock before he snaps the ball, they have to try that field goal instead of going for it on 4th-and-1. They would have had to try the field goal from further back because of time constraints, and they would have maybe missed it, and we would have won it in regulation. But here's the thing. We struggled in the red zone immensely yesterday, and I don't think Coach Houston wanted to let those guys have any time to think about it and start messing with their heads, have the offensive line jump off sides, have Holton. You never know. So when you're struggling in the red zone like we had been, I don't think you want to screw with it. Had we been dominant, in the red zone, we wouldn't have been in that situation. But I think in that particular situation, go ahead and just getting the score was the right call. Otherwise, I would agree that, you need to bleed some clock down there.
Right. Like you're saying, if it was a high-scoring game like several years ago, Cincinnati, for instance, and that's one that comes to mind way back in the Ruffin McNeil era. But just generally speaking, a higher-scoring game where we had scored a lot of touchdowns in the red zone and also not stopped the opponent as well as we had been stopping Memphis outside of a couple of big plays. But I, under the circumstances, I was perfectly fine handling it and going with the approach that we did, because main thing, we had to get points and had to get that touchdown.
No doubt. We had settled for 3 instead of 7 a lot during the day, and going and punching that in, it put pressure on them, you know. And you're exactly right, Kyle. Bubba, if you don't score there, or it's kind of a catch 22. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. Imagine the fan base if they had talk about clock management. Imagine if we tried to do that and then we don't score and lose the game in regulation.
Well, I don't think you burn it as in intentionally don't get it in the end zone. I think what some people didn't know is why we didn't at least bleed the clock on the first and goal there, bleed it down 50 seconds and then snap it, or and then, you know, that kind of situation. But I just don't think in that situation you wanted the guys to think about it. And hats off to the defense on that last drive.
Oh, man.
Because what we did do is keep them out of the end zone. And they had the, you know, and I, you know, I guys, and Bubba, I'll ask you this, and then we'll wrap this up with the football discussion. On that last offensive possession for Memphis, when they ran the ball and then kicked the field goal, did he pick up the first down there? I thought he was short.
Honestly, I remember you talking about that yesterday on the Pirate Football Playback. I'd have to go back and look at it. That game was such a blur, you know, so many twists and turns, so up and down. I do not recall. Okay.
It was definitely a roller coaster.
Had he been short, the clock should have ran out. So I don't know, but we won it in overtime, and it was great to win it like we did. And it's still, and that's why I worry about this game against Navy, because my mind's still reliving that final play and thinking about going to a bowl. And so it is concerning to me. Are we going to be focused in on Navy? This is a game you got to be extra focused on, the defense side of the ball in particular. And I hope we are. I really hope we are.
And there's no doubt that is the case. But very quickly, something I told Matt Semenza earlier today, I told him I certainly understand where you're coming from as far as facing the triple option, you know, coming off such an emotional high. But at the same time, it could be a good thing, because it could be, you know, a 180. And what I mean by that is that by facing the offense like we're facing, that could bring our guys back to where they need to be mentally and emotionally much more quickly, because they know, hey, if we aren't locked in, we're going to go up to Annapolis and get embarrassed.
Yeah, I kind of wish it was the other way around. I'd rather play Cincinnati this week. I think coming off of a game like this and then having all the confidence in the world going into Cincinnati would be perfect, and then close the season with Navy. I wish we could flip the games around. But I do see what you're saying, Bubba, and we'll see how it plays out. Hopefully the guys will be locked in and we'll get the W. We're 4-point favorites, so Vegas kind of thinks it's going to be a close game. And historically, they would be right. Actually, historically, they'd be wrong. Normally, Navy spanks us. So,
lost by touchdown last time, right? Last year.
Yeah, last year. But let's go to Annapolis and take care of business and have the opportunity to go back to Annapolis in a few weeks.
That's right. We're playing the Military Bowl twice. We told you about promo and a couple more things. We'll get out of here. We told you about the TSO locker room with Jaira Wilson and with Ryan Jones. We'll catch up with them. And then on Tuesday, we have Mike DeCourcy, of course, from the Sporting News and the Big Ten Network, talking college basketball. And a friend of ours, Kim McNeil, the coach, the women's coach of ECU, we'll have her on as well for Tuesday night show. And on Thursday, Bubba, for our Pirate Preview, Very excited to have the play-by-play voice of the Navy midshipman, Pete Medhurst. He's been with us for a long time on the show and coming on for Navy football for the last 2 or 3 years now. So looking forward to catching up with Pete and a lot of exciting things. This is a busy time, guys, no doubt.
Yeah, anytime East Carolina Navy get together, we always enjoy catching up with Pete. So we'll do that, like you said, on Thursday. And then looking forward to that conversation with Michael DeCourcy. He's been a regular the early part of basketball season in particular over the last 2 or 3 basketball seasons. So look forward to this, annual chat with Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News and Big Ten Network. And I know he will be able to share some knowledge on these teams down in the Myrtle Beach Invitational.
You know, guys, all right. Good game again for the Pirates, 95-79 over Western Carolina. Kyle, man, thank you for staying up late. I know it's almost past our bedtime. Bubba, thanks for all your hard work, man. Appreciate you so much. Until next time, the TSO locker room tomorrow. You've been watching Pirate Basketball Overtime right here on the Sports Objective. Good night, everybody. Go Pirates.